From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of September, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And Ben Brown will join us from University of Missouri Extension and the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute. He's an agricultural economist there. We'll also discuss the marketplace with him. We'll take a look at the weather forecast for the day and hear, too, about the cash grain situation, that with the folks at the Andersons. And along the way, I'll ask you to dial this number, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. And pledge your financial support to the programming that brings you agricultural information each and every business day of the year. Make sure you're ready to give. And I kind of like that $120 level. Actually, you can just go to willgive.org if you want right now to do that as well, or just make that phone call, 217-244-9455. Don't wait. Get us started the right way this week for our fall fun drive.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today settled at $5.21¾. It was 5½ lower. The March at 5.29¾, down 4½. And the May contract at 5.34½, 3¾ lower. January beans at 12.71¾, down 21¼. The March there at 12.76¼, down 21. And November, the nearby 21½ lower at $12.62½. The bean meal down $2.40. The bean oil for the day, $1.38 lower. Wheat futures were off 8 cents in the lead for the soft red. The hard red was down 13. Live cattle futures in Chicago were up 55 cents. Feeders were 52½ higher, and lean hogs were down 82½ cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down around 870 points at this time. And we're joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss the marketplace. I mentioned the Dow, the S&P 500, also off around 113 points, because it looks like that's what was really playing in the market today. Did I make the correct judgment?
Yeah, you're dead on there. I mean, it is some harvest activity. The yields coming in a little less is kind of an offset there, but uncertainty. We had a shaky world equity market for the most part. It started in China, where you had one of the largest real estate holders there fail to make one of their payments, and it's basically their net worth or their business dealings equals about 2% of China's GDP. And what happened was that spilled over into the Asian market, into the European market, into the U.S. market. And our Dow's currently at this time down about a little over 800 points. So just to some uncertainty there, everybody kind of running for cover. Then, too, it's starting to hit home that if we're going to have this big trillion-dollar stimulus bill go through, it's got to be paid some way. And naturally, individual taxes, corporate taxes, and everything else is going to have to help do this. Then, too, as we move into mid-October here, government's going to run out of money again, and so they're looking at trying to maneuver the debt ceiling a little bit to avoid some problems there. So it's kind of the outside factor. Whenever you have uncertainty, the natural reaction is to be a seller, or you see the markets go down for the most part. Commodity funds were sellers, going into the session. They sold about 4,500 contracts of wheat, 6,000 contracts of corn, about 7,500 contracts of beans going into midday. Beans were getting kind of in a position to record a little bit of a head and shoulders bottoming through here. So it's going to be important for beans to stay above this 1260 level to keep that intact. The move below 1260 is going to be kind of negative on the short-term charts. 1268 is the 200-day moving average. We closed below that for the first time since August of 2020. So kind of getting kind of sloppy technically in here. Also, this is going hand in hand with some of the outside fundamental news. Then to add fuel on the fire, we got a full moon, Todd.
Well, how about that? So the bottom of the bean market today, 1262 and a half. That's not very far away from 1260. I would think the overnight trade might try that. You know, given you've had some time with the electronic trade and overnight for the better part of a decade, maybe longer than that. I don't remember exactly when it did start, maybe closer to 15 years. Does it make very much of a difference in the technical side of the marketplace? And I guess I'm wondering is if this goes, say, to 12, I don't know, 55 or 56 or something like that, and then bounces back up, does it matter very much how hard it pushes through this 1260 level?
Yeah, that's a great observation because, you know, when you look at the technical action in the market trading overnight, you know, it starts in Asia about 7 o'clock, then it moves into Europe about 2:30 in the morning, about the time I can't go to the bathroom. And so it's, you know, around the clock, and it's mainly computer driven as far as the U.S. market goes and participate in that because most everyone is asleep at that time. And the key is to see if it actually follows through in the day session and maybe view the close as an important indicator whether it really violates a certain chart area because you could have the market go through something, no follow through, then come whipping right back up. So we've kind of based it off of a close, if not two closes, as a rule of thumb, to see if it follows through and changes the trend for the most part, Todd.
Yeah, so a couple of fundamentals to be aware of as it's related to the soybean market. Very tight ending stocks looks like that for this year and next year, or for the end of this year, that is. And then early harvest is indicating a pretty good sized bean crop out there, maybe bigger than what USDA is thinking about.
But it's still in the early stages. I've heard some 55, 60 bushels guys were looking at some more, and I've heard of one isolated area where there was nothing below 90 bushels on the beans. So beans might be in a position where percentage-wise they can hang in there. Unlike the corn reports we're hearing, this tar spot's just been devastating. All this crop's ready right now almost. It died and is ready to go. Some of these yields are on corn's coming in anywhere from 20 to 30 bushels below expectations. So we'll see how the harvest progress comes in this afternoon. They're looking for corn progress to be about 10% as a nation. A lot of that's from the south, but we'll see some rapid activity and a lot more yield reports as we go forward. As we get past tomorrow, China's going to come back from their autumn festival holiday, so it's going to be more important to see the Chinese buyers come in to take advantage of this blue light special we're seeing in the bean market, Todd.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, Kurt.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world. A quick look at the weather forecast as Mark Russo's out of the office for the afternoon. From Fargo to Columbus, some rainfall across the Corn Belt today, parts of tomorrow, and then things will dry out and be much, much cooler with temperatures mostly in the mid-70s with the lows in the upper 50s to low 60s. One other item. If you've not dialed this number, 217-244-9455 just yet, or gone to willgive.org, that's willgive.org, to pledge your financial support of the Closing Market Report and the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Medium, right now would be a really great time to do that. Thanks so much, and I do like the $120 level. About once a month, we check in with Ben Brown at Missouri University Extension. He's with FAPRI there, Food Agricultural Policy Research Institute, an agricultural economist. Hi, Ben. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Really appreciate it.
I hear that over the weekend, like me, you went to the farm and rode the combine and the tractors and looked at a really good corn crop, I guess.
Yeah, no, I got the chance to go home to West Central Missouri and kind of scout things out. It's amazing how much corn's been taking off just in the last week. It seems like people really got with it. We had some good days to to really run, and farmers did a lot to get the corn out of the ground. And certainly for us, in our little pocket of the world, we had a really wet planting period, especially when it came to planting beans back in May. It just seemed like it was never going to stop raining. And so we were worried about quality of corn, but the corn that did get planted and got up has fared really well and has exceeded expectations in a lot of cases. And for our part of West Central Missouri, where I grew up, 170 to 180 bushel corn crop is considered pretty good. And this year, most of it's going at that to even above to about 220. So kind of a pretty significant range there, depending on whether you got fungicide and you treated for insecticide, because pests were kind of a big issue this year, especially Japanese beetles. So if you got those taken care of, the corn crop turned out pretty good for folks.
Yeah, and that fungicide issue, I do want to talk about that, not with you today, but I'll talk about it with Nathan Klucheski, who's a GrowMark plant pathologist and was here on the Urbana-Champaign campus until very early in this year, because there wasn't really necessary to spray a fungicide, through, I don't know, about August, if you went and scouted. However, there is a lot of undertow saying, you know, if you spray fungicide, this makes a difference. And that's on the early corn. I get it. But I want to talk to him about that, because it was $32 an acre to do that. And I want to know for sure whether he thinks that's the case. So we'll talk with him about that. I'll do that this afternoon. I think it should air tomorrow. Today, we, though, want to talk with you about the grain stocks report. That's the end of the month. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're seeing for corn?
Yeah, just in a little over a week and a half, we've got our end of the year grain stocks. This is that fourth quarter, September 1st grain stocks. It kind of rounds out our year prior, serves as both the end of the quarter and end of the marketing year. So it tends to be something that, you know, that gets watched pretty heavily, because this provides USDA an opportunity to go back and revise any of the previous quarters. And of course, Scott Irwin there at the University of Illinois has studied this extensively, looking at revisions to those quarterly grain stocks. But USDA does reserve the right that, you know, at the end of the year, they get to revise any previous quarters for the marketing year. So this one tends to be a big, you know, just kind of a attention getter by the market. But when we look at the fourth quarter, so the months of June, July, and August, we start with the June 1 stocks report. And that told us that we had just a little over 4.1 billion bushels. That was our tightest June 1 stocks report since June of 2014. So certainly, you know, short on corn there in certain parts of the country, really seeing that in some basis markets. You know, when we look at our corn imports for the quarter, through July, USDA takes those from the U.S. Census Bureau. And for June and July, we had 21 million bushels, for the entire year up to July, we had 21 million bushels of corn imports. That was down 43% from the 38 million bushels the previous year, or during that same period the previous year. In September's USDA report, they were estimating somewhere around 25 million bushels of corn imports. That current pace suggests that there was about 3.1, 3.2 million bushels imported in August. So that brings our total imports for the quarter up to just under 6.9 million bushels. So again, when we're talking about imports, they're not much, but we certainly want to account for them in terms of the bigger picture here. If we add that 6.9 million bushels of imports to our beginning balance, that June 1 stocks report, we had 1.112 billion bushels available for the quarter. So that's what we started out with. And again, that's the smallest we've had in the June, for the June quarter, the beginning of the quarter since 2014. So turning to the demand side real quick, I'm going to start on the feed and residual use, which is always the trickiest, just because we account for some, you know, some basically accounting differences when we look at the feed and residual category. But when we look at the first three quarters of the marketing year, they totaled just over 5 billion bushels of feed use for the quarter. USDA's feed and residual use number in their September report for the entire year was 5.725 billion bushels. So that implies there was 677 million bushels were consumed in the fourth quarter, which equals about 12% of our annual total. So again, we don't use a lot of corn. We consume most of our corn for feed use in the first two quarters, or the first half of the marketing year. probably interesting this year is we had some opportunities this year where wheat was feeding or was beating corn in the feed bunk, and certainly in the Western Corn Belt, you know, there was a little bit more wheat this year fed into the Corn Belt, but wheat kind of priced itself out at different points. And so, you know, I think if as we look at this final quarter, I think, you know, wheat probably in a lot of places, given the price rally that we've seen, especially with the challenges in the spring and even the white wheat growing areas of the country, I think wheat kind of priced itself out of the feed bunk here at the end of the year. Turning to exports real quick, U.S. Census Bureau currently has export volumes through July. That total is a little over 2.6 billion bushels. USDA is currently estimating 2.745 billion bushels for the marketing year 2020-2021. So that would imply about 130.5 million bushels for August. When we look at the weekly export inspections for corn, they currently indicate the U.S. had 135 million bushels of exports in the month of August. That was even despite, you know, Hurricane Ida coming through and hitting some of our ports and export terminals there in New Orleans there at the end of the month. And certainly we did see export volumes really taper off, really drastically cut back there at the end of August and kind of even struggle as we started the new marketing year. So in total, my expectation or my estimate for exports in the fourth quarter estimated at 596 million bushels. That's slightly better than the 550 million bushels during the fourth quarter last year. When we look at food and industry, so this is including ethanol, this is including corn used for food products. You know, we start with the grain crushing report that USDA released on September 1, and that showed corn used for ethanol production in June and July at 993 million bushels. To end the marketing year, however, weekly production of ethanol from July 2nd of 2021 till the end of the year fell roughly 13% on a week-over-week basis, or 13%. We've had two other years that stick out that had kind of a similar pattern of that big of a drop towards the end of the marketing year. Those were 2019, when we had large amount of prevent plant and trouble sourcing grain, especially in the Eastern Corn Belt, and then 2012, when we had, you know, the drought and high-priced corn kind of struggling to source grain and putting pressure on those ethanol margins. So again, this year we had a drastic cut or, you know, downfall in ethanol towards the end of the marketing year. Again, partially due to sourcing grain and then plants taking extended maintenance periods. So when we add that all together, the total for the fourth quarter for food, seed, and industrial, somewhere around 1.7 billion bushels for that category. So total corn use, my estimate for the fourth quarter is just over 3 billion bushels. That's relatively similar to what we've seen in the past. So, you know, even with higher prices of corn, it doesn't seem to have really tapered our demand that much. If we subtract that from our beginning balance of 4.1, that gets us just slightly below where the USDA is estimating. So I'm at 1.14 billion bushels for an ending stocks for the year. USDA is at 1.18 9. So I'm about 50 million less than they are. Again, most of that's coming in that ethanol category, that food and industrial category, which USDA has lowered in recent months. But and again, also in that feed and residual use category, which is kind of the balancing sheet correction formula, if we will. So all in all, a good quarter for corn use. I think USDA is going to show that this week, next week in their stocks report when it comes out, and it shows that our September 1 stocks are again, tightest we've seen in a number of years, and that should keep corn price elevated with some chances for basis, you know, improvements in parts of the country that continue to see high demand for corn and you know, more grain moving across the country to get corn where we have it to places where we need it. So that's my summary for the stocks report,
that's
Todd.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
That's right.
Hey, thank you, Ben. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
That's Ben Brown. He is with FAPRI, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, an agricultural economist for University of Missouri Extension. On this Monday, let's check in with Greg Johnson to see what's been happening at the elevator here in Champaign County. Actually, we probably, Greg, should start with the big news, which is not that harvest has started, but rather that the Anderson's Grain Facility here in Champaign County, it's a big facility, is now a TGM facility, a total grain marketing facility.
That's correct, Todd. As of Friday at 4 o'clock, the deal was signed, and the Andersons sold their Champagne grain facility to Total Grain Marketing, which is a division of Growmark. So we are now operating under the Growmark flag. Everything looks to be about the same. We're still handling grain, dumping grain, and things are going well, but it's just a different name on the sign. And Andersons did not sell the fertilizer division, so the fertilizer plant here at Champaign is still owned by the Andersons, and they did not sell any other grain facilities. So Champaign was the only grain facility that was sold to Total Grain Marketing, so we will be operating under the TGM label from here on forward.
And your desk is still in the same corner?
Same corner. Yep, I'm not moving. And yep, same people, just a different name on the door.
All right. So Greg Johnson of TGM joins us to talk about the cash grain situation. Have farmers been working the last several days?
Yes, it's been very busy. We had a very busy weekend. Some guys haven't started yet as their corn has not dried down enough. And in my mind, that's a good thing because some of this corn is drying down almost too fast, maybe as a result of some fungal diseases or the dry weather or combination. But we've had some corn come in as dry as 17.5%. And about a week ago, it was 25, 26%. So almost a point a day in some of this corn. And like I say, some people are hearing lighter test weights, lower yields because of some of the fungal diseases. We really haven't seen that here yet. And again, we're only 5% harvested probably in our area. But we're pretty pleased with the yields that we've seen. A lot of 230, 235 bushel corn. I know people were expecting 240, 250, and there is some of that out there. But compared to some of the other areas that we're hearing from, I guess I'm not too unhappy with 230-235.
Today's downturn just a result of the outside markets?
I think so. I think today is a big, stock market's down. It's just an economic, worldwide economic thing. And I think that just spilled over into the commodities. So, really, if we were trading off of yield reports and things like that, corn probably would be higher because in general, from what I'm picking up, the yields that are coming in, while they're okay, are a little bit below expectations. Not a disaster by any stretch, but just below expectations. So based on that, you would think that maybe the markets would be higher, but the overall economic outlook, I think, is weighing on the commodities today.
Spot month and January basis, both holding firm?
Yes. Until we see some better yields, elevators are empty going into the fall, so basis levels are going to remain steady until we see whether we will have all the storage space filled up and have to either put corn on the ground or sell cheap trains. But basis levels are steady for both fall and January at this point.
Fungicides appear to have done the job on soybeans, meaning they're still green. It might be a bit. I suppose a few could be coming in at this point.
Yes, we've had very few fields come in, and the yields were good. Now, those were early planted beans, but we did have rain in August as well. So even the later planted beans probably, I think, will be okay yield-wise, assuming, like you said, that we put fungicide on. And definitely farmers are happy that they put fungicide on the corn. So certainly a year to protect the crop with the high prices, and farmers did a good job of that, and I think they're reaping the benefits of that right now.
Indeed. Hey, thank you so much. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM. That's the former Andersons facility here in Champaign County. Joined us on the closing market report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, or better yet, how about making a donation to willgive.org, willgive.org, or by calling this number, 217-244-9455. You know, you are the public in public radio, and we're a partnership between these radio stations, you and the University of Illinois. We thank you for making that pledge of support. Don't wait. Do it right now at 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455. Big Will.